You know, when we look through the history of the church, we see that there have always been problems. There have always been times in the church when there has been scandal, when there's been division, when there's been infighting, when there's been arguing, when there's been heresy. I mean, there's always been times in the church where there's problems. So it shouldn't surprise us that there are now. And one of those problems that we see on a regular basis that occurs time and time and time again is spiritual apathy. Spiritual malaise, where we really don't get too excited about our spiritual life. Our spiritual life tends to be kind of secondary. We put it behind the things of the world. And we can see the spiritual apathy when we look at how we respond to the scriptures. The scriptures should move us. They should excite us. But too often we hear the scriptures proclaimed, or we read the scriptures, and it's just kind of, we come to Mass, and the first reading, and the responsorial psalm, and the second reading, and the gospel, and then that priest blathers on and on and on and on. You know, it's just kind of, we're here. But there's really no excitement. That's human nature. Apathy is kind of a part of our human nature. We tend to do that on certain things. And it's interesting, we look at this gospel these readings today, and there are a couple of passages that should really hit us if we're really focusing on the scriptures, if we're really letting the scriptures get into the depth of our souls. It should really hit us. First one comes from the first reading. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Be holy. You know, we're called to be holy. That should kind of hit us, and we should think about that. And then we hear the gospel where he says, so be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Wait, we also have to be perfect? To be holy and perfect? That should make us think. If we're really, really thinking about the scriptures, we're really trying to chew on the scriptures, that should get the wheels turning. How do we do this? How do we be holy? How do we be perfect? And the more important question is, are we living up to that? You should really get our juices flowing, our wheels turning, whatever analogy you want to use. So how do we do that? Well, I think first of all, we need to really look at what those two words mean. What does it mean to be holy? You know, St. Paul says, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. The temple of God, which we are. Well, when we received the Holy Spirit at baptism, the Holy Spirit came and dwelt within us and continues to dwell within us. So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God, is what St. Paul is saying. And that's why we're called to be holy, is because of the Holy Spirit residing within us. Now, the word holy, a common definition you will hear is set apart for God, that it is no longer of the earth, but it is for God. So we can say that this building is holy, because this building was built and was dedicated for the purpose of God, to be dedicated to God, focused on Him. So if we are to be holy, we need to have our lives dedicated to God. We need to have a total dedication to God, that He is the source of everything that we are and everything that we have, that everything comes from Him. St. Paul also says, so let no one boast about human beings, for everything belongs to you, all belong to you, and you to Christ, and Christ to God. So that everything we have, everything we are, belongs to Him. And if we are truly holy, if we are truly dedicated to God, we have that desire to return it to Him, that we recognize this great gift of our lives that He gives us, we return it to Him, we send it back to Him, seeking His will above our own, seeking what He desires above what we desire, and then also seeking to avoid anything that keeps us from Him. You know, we have sin, we have our self-centered nature, our selfishness, that keeps us from God. But if we are seeking to be holy, we put that aside and put Him first in our lives, instead of putting the things of the world first. So that's what it means to be holy. But how about being perfect? We know we're not perfect people. Humanity is not perfect. None of us are perfect. We all fall short sometimes. We all fail. We all make bad decisions. We all make mistakes. We all fall on our face and have to get up and dust ourselves off. We're not perfect. So how can we be perfect? Well, we have to take that passage, to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, in its context. It's very easy for us to take a chunk of scripture, one little verse like that, and say, well, this is how I'm going to live my life, is based off of this. But we don't truly understand that until we look at it in its wider context or its wider situation within the scriptures. So that verse, to be perfect, is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this beautiful Sermon on the Mount that our Lord gave, you know, you can go through and read it. It starts out with the Beatitudes, you know, the blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor, and so on. You know, he's giving this beautiful declaration of those who are blessed. And then he goes in and talks about being the salt of the earth and the light to the world, which we heard a few weeks ago. And then he talks about being, you know, loving your neighbor and so on. This is part of that last part, that loving your neighbor. What our Lord is calling us to do is saying that we can't be, he's not saying that we have to be without mistake. What he's saying to us is that we have to share the perfect love and grace, perfect love and mercy, which our Heavenly Father has shared with us. God is perfect in his love. And he wishes to share his love and his mercy with us. But we are called to be as perfect in sharing our love and mercy with him or with others. Now, we might think that's impossible. It's impossible for us to be perfect. And you know what? On our own, that's true. For us as human beings, it is impossible to be perfect. But, of course, as our Lord says in the Gospel of Matthew, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. With his grace and his help, we can be perfect. We can't do it on our own, though. We have to do it with his help. So how do we live this? How do we live holiness? How do we live being perfect? And, you know, honestly, to be perfect, we must seek holiness. We must seek holiness. So the question ultimately comes down to, how do we live holiness? Well, the fact, it's a recognition that we need, first of all, is that holiness is very different than what we see many other people in the world doing. I would argue that there are very, very few people who truly seek holiness in their life, who truly seek to dedicate their lives to God first and foremost. Most of us, if not all of us, we live for the things of the world first, that for our earthly life first. That we put our jobs and our families and our needs and our wants and our desires and where we want to go and what we want to do, we put all that before God. And he is secondary. At best, an afterthought for many, many people. For some people, not even a thought at all. God doesn't even enter into their thought process at all. So we need to change that. To seek holiness means we put God first before anything else in our lives. That is what seeking holiness is about. And so we, by putting God first in our lives, we seek to serve his will first and then our own. He goes before us. And it also causes us to change from being inward facing, you know, that we are seeking our lives for what we want, and instead outward facing, seeking him and seeking to love our neighbor, that our lives become outward, self-giving, not inward, selfish, and self-centered. So, and then if we are to be holy, we need to know him. If we are to dedicate our lives to God, we need to know him. So we need to spend time with him. Spend time with him in prayer. Spend time with him in devotion. If God's an afterthought, we're not going to pray. But if God is first in our life, we are going to spend time in prayer. We are going to spend time before him, coming to know him, to converse with him, to have that personal relationship with him. And from all that, from coming to know God and to putting him first, that love of neighbor then flows from us. That as we are seeking that outward self-giving, we naturally will love neighbor, even those, especially those who are our enemies, those who have persecuted us, those who have hurt us, those who we have a grudge against. That will lead us to loving them as we are called to do, to being perfect as we are called to be. So my challenge for you, especially as we enter into this Lenten season here in just a couple of days, let the scriptures move you. Let the scriptures enter into your heart. Let them change you to bring you closer to our Father, that we may follow our Lord's words. So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect.